You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Plastic Free July has rolled around again, and we'll all be hearing about reducing plastic use in our daily lives. Much of the messaging is targeted towards young people through school and youth-focused messaging. However, within our sustainability efforts, we must also look at how we can conduct real change and look at the worst plastic producers around the globe, as well as how New Zealand can improve their own efforts as well. I spoke to Sarah Tolbert, Associate Professor of Science and Environmental Education at the University of Canterbury, on the matter, and I started off by asking her about the importance of Plastic Free July and how it helps with taking proper environmental action. Here she is now.
Yeah, I mean, I think this month is really important because it's always good to have these moments where we stop and think about, you know, our plastic waste and the effect that we're having on the environment. But my focus from an education perspective is really on empowering people to better understand the nature of the problem. And I think a lot of the times we really focus on individual action that we can take. But I think there's a bigger history behind that message, which is that corporations actually launched a deflection campaign to make us all feel like it's really very much about the problem that we created, because we're just not being responsible with our waste, when in fact we need to focus our attention again on regulating the polluters in the first place and stopping plastic pollution at the source. So I think that's what we can do. We can become more aware and involved with efforts like that that help us focus on collective action around things that get at systemic change and infrastructure that make it actually easier for us to do plastic-free shopping, because it's not so easy, is it?
Now, you mentioned in this article that we're proposing individual solutions to big problems. Could you elaborate more on this? And do you think that the issue of sustainability and recycling and such is definitely, it's quite simplified nowadays, but yet it's still such a complex, and you know, there's obviously a lot of moving parts.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those what we call wicked problems, right? And wicked problems are wicked because they're complex and they're sort of multifaceted. And I think part of the issue is that, yeah, we've been simplifying the problem, and that doesn't really help us in the long run to affect systemic or long-term change, or even short-term change, which is actually what we need given the nature of the problem. So I think it's important to do what we can, right? Like, everyone's going to have ability to do something a little bit better, to kind of recycle more, to be more conscientious about the plastic that we buy and try to reduce the amount of plastic that we consume. But those are things that we can do that help us live more responsibly. Those are kind of, ethical choices that we make, which I think is great. But if we really want to get at solutions and affect change, both in the short term and the long term, we have to work together as part of collectives of people to advocate and basically demand legislative change, regulatory change, and hold the polluters responsible for the amount of plastic waste, but also the amount of plastic pollution, the pollution that gets into the air through and water through the production of plastic in the first place.
Here in Aotearoa, our rate of recycling is estimated to be lower than many other developed countries. Also, globally, only 9% of the 15% of plastic waste collected for recycling is actually recycled. Do you think these figures are definitely something we need to consider if we think about making our country more sustainable?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there are always ways that we can improve our recycling systems. And again, that is an infrastructure problem for a lot of people, I think, as well, because, we have very few cities, for example, right now have curbside recycling programs that include soft plastics recycling. So we need to improve infrastructure in that respect. And I think there are plans in place to do so, to make sure that all cities, I think it's all cities with at least 1,000 people have access to a curbside recycling program, but it's not it's a small part of a bigger problem. And I think it's important. And it's good that we're doing that. It's good that we're thinking about improving our recycling rates. But I do, again, want to say that I don't think people aren't recycling. The issue around recycling isn't one that people don't care about it, because I think people are becoming more and more aware of plastic. I think it's an infrastructure problem. So, again, looking at systems and zero waste infrastructures that can help support people to actually live in ways that reduce their plastic waste in the first place is the way to go.
You also mentioned advocate Tina Nata and her point about waste colonialism. Do you think that's definitely part of this problem as well?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, she's done incredible work in this area for years now, and she's talked a lot about waste colonialism, as well as others have, which is essentially how we send our plastic waste. The majority of our plastic waste goes to other countries for processing and recycling because we don't have the infrastructure here in Aotearoa to do that ourselves. So that's a form of waste colonialism. Basically, we send our own waste to other countries that perhaps have fewer resources to deal with it than we do. And so we really need to look at that. I think take a long, hard look at that and change the way that we're handling our plastic waste and reduce our plastic consumption in the first place.
Now, another thing I wanted to bring up that you also brought up in this article you wrote is good intentions don't always equal good policy. So would you say that the intention of we should recycle, we should try and be sustainable as possible, again, sort of goes back to that point of individual solutions for a bigger problem, and that really the root of this issue it lies in the policies we have, like you said, infrastructure and, you know, what the councils are doing and such?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot we can do to kind of on an individual level think about how we can reduce our plastic waste. But essentially, this problem is a systemic one. And if you look at the amount of plastic waste that's being produced, over half of it, half of the plastic waste in the world comes from corporations, not individuals. And so the problem has to be at that level. It has to be at the level of plastic production. And, you know, it's kind of great for corporations, isn't it, when the focus is on individuals, because it absolves them from their responsibility to stop producing the plastic. And meanwhile, plastic production is actually increasing globally. It's not decreasing, which is what should be happening. So clearly, us trying to be better consumers or have better individual habits doesn't actually help reduce the amount of plastic that's being produced in the first place, but it can help us, you know, live more sustainably on a daily basis. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing that thing. I think it's great to try to reduce our plastic use and to try to recycle it. And there are lots of people who are living plastic free. But I think the crux of the problem really is at that level of production. And a lot of people who know more about this issue than I do have been really working in that space for a while now.
Yeah.
So we can put our support behind those efforts, for example, like the Greenpeace Aotearoa Ban the Bottle campaign, for example, or the petition to, you know, to make sure that Aotearoa New Zealand is involved in the Global Plastics Treaty that's, you know, coming out of the United Nations right now. It's been proposed by Rwanda and Peru. So there are lots of things that we can do, but I think public pressure and public support is essential in that space because, you know, that's how social change happens, right? That's how these big changes happen, is because the public gets fed up and we say, we're not going to, you know, this isn't okay for us anymore. So we need to put our support behind those kinds of campaigns.
How does educating our youth on this issue fall into helping Aotearoa's sustainability efforts?
And to be honest, I think a lot of students, undergraduate students who I teach, who are learning, you know, to be teachers themselves, come into courses feeling really disempowered because they are trying to do their best to live a sustainable life, but they're taking it all on as sort of a personal responsibility, and it feels overwhelming to them. So learning that initiatives like, you know, even being a tidy Kiwi are part of larger corporate deflection campaign to make them feel like it's all their fault is actually really empowering. And it fuels their desire to be part of movements organizing for change because it's sort of like a breath of fresh air. Suddenly they realize, oh, it's not all on me as an individual. And so I think learning about those efforts, and it's important to keep our communities clean and all of that is good, but if we were looking at systemic change or how to really get at the crux of the problem, then we have to look at those systems level actions. So I think that's really empowering, but it's often not the focus of our education efforts, is it? The focus is often on, you know, what you can do as an individual or how you can, you know, come home and lobby your families to be better, you know, recyclers, and that's great, but I think we need to teach young people about, and children included, about how, you know, about the nature of the problem and how it became a problem in the first place, and then what we can do together to help affect change.
So rather than just telling people, oh, plastic is bad for the environment and we should just need to recycle more, there needs to be education on how to do that. There needs to be the infrastructure put in place. And we also need to educate and make sure people are aware of corporations who still don't follow that sort of sustainable process.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the initiatives that I think is really important is something we call critical literacy or critical media literacy. And so helping children understand, things like greenwashing. And greenwashing is when corporations put out a product that they say is made of a certain percentage of, post-consumer waste, for example, but really understanding how that message is being used. Meanwhile, that same company might be increasing their plastic production, a pretty large percentage at the same time. So these tools that are being used to kind of make us think we're being responsible consumers in a way when in fact we're supporting a company that is actually one of the worst plastic producers. So learning about that, so learning to read between the lines and really do their homework around what companies are actually doing in terms of plastic production, I think is really important. But also civics education has to go hand in hand with environmental education. And we see great examples of this. Lisa McLaren, who is part of the Generation Zero, several years back was feeling really frustrated about the ways in which they felt like individual action couldn't do much in terms of the climate change problem. And so they got together and learned how to write a bill. They didn't know anything about writing legislation when they first started out. And they were, I think, at the time when they started in their late teens, early 20s, and just got together and did some research and started reaching out to organizations for support. They got the attention of media, and eventually they were able to draft or be a part of the drafting of the Zero Carbon Act. It's not what they would have originally proposed, but it's still something, and it was part of their efforts in learning how to, write legislation, for example, and what does that even look like. So I think that's important for children to see as well, that we can make a difference and our voices can be heard working together with others. We can learn about, how to have an impact on policy. We don't often do that. I mean, I think it's getting better. There's a new civics education curriculum that just came out a couple of years ago, but it just needs to be more of a focus on that kind of environmental action as opposed to go home and recycle more.
That was Sarah Tolbert, the Associate Professor of Science and Environmental Education at the University of Canterbury, speaking about Plastic-Free July and demanding real change when it comes to sustainability and recycling.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.